Psalms 85. Psalms 85. I want to read these. I want to read several verses here. It won't take us but a second. The Bible said in Psalms 85, verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. And I want you to notice how he gives God the glory. He said, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Notice again, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. We think about that, how he's given God all the glory. We find out in verses 1 through 3 here that he's grateful. We see the grateful declaration that he gives. Verse number 3, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. And then in verse number 4, he says this, turn us. Here we see the godly supplication. He tells to turn us. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord was. And then we go to verse number 8, we see the glad expectation. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace has kissed each other. Truth and shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. I want you to look at verse number 6. Will thou not revive us again? We've heard these verses read and preached from many a time. I'm not going to say anything new tonight, but I hope I remind us, maybe something will prick our hearts tonight to help us. We need to have revival. Amen. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, this is not my message, but I do want to say this first of all. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us. Lead us and guide us. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. Anoint us and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Will thou not revive us again, thy people may rejoice in thee? We realize we're coming to a time where there's so many Christians that are sad.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, hopefully you wasn't sad it was Sunday to come to church. Hope you weren't sad it was Sunday night that you had to come back to church. Hope it was not sad that on Wednesday, if you're able and not have to do work and not being hindered, that you can be in the house of God, that you are sad that it's Wednesday night. Well, it's Wednesday night. We got to go to church.
Yeah.
I hope that's not our attitude. If it is, then that probably is one thing that would... I want to preach on this thought, why revival tarries. And you know that Ravenhood wrote that book, and I've read the book. I didn't pull these things from his book, but I did pull some quotes from his book from reading it some time back. But why does revival tarry? I'm under this impression that God wants to give us revival more than we want to have it. And I'm also under the impression, as what I just said, we need revival a lot more than we even think we need revival. We have just lost a spiritual, I can't even find the words in my vocabulary to say what I want to say. We have lost something that is so precious and is so needed for a church to have what I'm called revival, or have the continual moving of the Spirit of God in their midst. And again, I can't really tell you the word of what it is, but simply I'm trying to explain what I'm talking about. We've lost the necessity of needing God.
Yeah.
The necessity of desiring God.
Amen.
Now, we just don't desire God. Did we really desire his presence today? Did we really desire him to meet with us? Are we really desiring him to save somebody, one of our loved ones? Are we carrying a burden? Are we have a desire to have that God shows up in the house of the Lord, that the God would be here? Are we really desiring to have revival? I believe in this time and day, for we're going to have revival, it's going to have to be a heartfelt heart desire and a desire from the people of God to want to have it. Now, I believe there's some reason why revival tarries, why we don't have revival. I'm just going to give you three thoughts, very simple here tonight. Just three little thoughts I'm going to give you. Why revival tarries. First of all, I think is, look at verse number 6. He said, "Will thou not revive us again that thy people..." I believe revival tarries tonight because of the unavailability of God's people. We're just unavailable to God. We've got our routines and we've got our society. And I'm not talking about sinful things that are in our life, but I'm just talking about we're so cumbered about with so much busyness and so much that takes our life. I mean, to be honest with you, the job you work, it don't just take the hours you're there. Many times it takes the hours you're at home. It takes a lot of things from you. Some, if you don't watch it, you know you've worked so hard and you need to give a full day's work. But you mentally, you come home and you just drain and you have no mental capacity to seem like to seek God because of just the work that you do. And then not only that, the society in itself. The ladies, the housework that you have to do, the things you have to keep up, then the meals that you have to prepare, and then the kids and the needs of the kids and keeping the clothes clean and the things that the kids have to go to and the events they have to be in, and mom and dad is paying taxi and you're trying to find people here to get somebody there. I mean, and just all kinds of things going on. It's society. You know, I don't think they did that when they had wagons. The kids couldn't have football practices in three different places in 30 minutes. Yeah. Amen. That didn't happen back in those day and time. Now, the pace of life was different. We're on such a high pace of life. And you meet me afterwards and you tell me how to change it completely, I'll tell you what, I might would pay you some money. And that's pretty good for a Jewish preacher. Amen. I'm not a Jew, but anyway. But I'm trying to say is, it's the society, it's the course of life that you're not, it's the time that we live in. The unavailability of God's unavailable. We're unavailable. That's why a lot of things we can't get done at the church. We're just unavailable. It's not that you don't want to do it. Come on. I hope you want to. It's not you wouldn't like to do it. Hey, if we call for revival, many cannot, some will not. Some could and won't, but a lot of people cannot because of obligations, because of things. They can't even be in the house of God that week. And it's almost a down thing to call revival and you only have 30 people show up. Yeah. You know, and thank God for visitors that comes in. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm just telling you society, the times of society, the things that we're involved in. And in some, I mean, I preach Thursday and Friday night, and I'm talking about on Friday night, some of that, man, I know some of their best members was not there. I know some of the church. Brother Nick, I tell you, he went with me Thursday night. Brother Nick said, "You know a lot of these people." I said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Man, I preached here when I was a kid. I mean, I'm talking about y'all a lot of years ago." Amen. It's a few years ago. A few years ago, I preached back then. And so I know the people, and I knew the pastor that passed away, and his family pretty much is still there. And the man that is pastor there right now has been there in that church, not his pastor. This is his first pastor. But Brother Steve, he was there 20 years as a lay preacher in the church. And now he's the pastor of the church. And so I do know some people in that church. And I know on that Friday night, Deborah got to go with me and went on Friday night. And I asked one of the ladies, I said, "Where's your husband at?" His name's Larry. I said, "Where's Brother Larry at?" He said, "Well, he's really upset. But they forced him, made him have to work this afternoon. He thought he would be off. He thought he wouldn't. And he's real upset about it, but he had to do it." Amen. I'm just talking about society. Now, there's a difference of being forced to and asked to work. But, you know, but I mean, and then one guy came in late. His name's Brandon. He came in late and I asked Brandon, I said, after the service, Brandon apologized about coming in late. I said, "Man, I'm glad you just showed up." Amen. You know, he said, "Yeah," he said, "I just got in." He said, I got off work just a little bit late. I got in at 6:45, took a shower and got over here and got there about 7:30, okay, to church. Now, he determined. He tried his best to be there. Amen. A lot of us wouldn't have done that. But he tried his best to get there and be in the house of the Lord. I'm talking about, why does the revival tarry? Because of the inavailability. And it's not all the time because of us being sinful, but it's all the things that we're involved in. There's just not time to have revival. Do you realize how probably long it would take for you and I to get settled in? Matter of fact, most of y'all probably wouldn't stay here in church long enough for us to have just a good meeting tonight. Amen. I mean, I could preach a little bit here tonight, and we get some of y'all to come up and sing some more, and then I could preach again. I tell you, they didn't, those old time revivals they talk about, they had morning and night services. They didn't have 1 week services there. And a lot of times, Brother Nick's revival didn't really kick in till after the first week of revival. You know why? The first week was people trying to get right with God. Second week, they started acting like they was Christians. Somebody say amen. And they got, thank God, started moving in their life. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. If I said, okay, we're going to have a 4 week revival, I guarantee you someone would look at your husband or wife and say, he has lost his mind. What does he think he is? Amen. Who does he think? What does he think that we can come down here 4 weeks in a row? But I tell you what, when revival comes to a church, when real revival comes, they go for several weeks. We just seen these revivals that lasted for over a month. Hundreds of people saved in them. People, and then those churches, those people I know wasn't able to come every night, but God began to move and work in their life. And a lot of them, some of those pastors have talked about it. They said, man, that meeting, it was amazing how our people showed up and backed the house of God. I mean, you didn't have to beg them to come. They wanted to be in the house of God. That's revival. We've lost that desire, that inward need, that necessity that we have to have to desire to be in God's house. Now, Brother Steve, I'm not preaching that we get to this place, Brother Hub, but the only way we're really probably going to ever get that desire back is for it to be taken away. You haven't turned the water off down here at the water plant. And they tell you you're not going to have water for a week. You'll be desiring that water comes out of that faucet. When you have to start taking water and warming it up and taking baths, you'll forget about your 55-gallon jacuzzi. Hey, man, you'll wish you had a smaller tub. You would be taking more of what we call dabble baths. Just a little dab, do you? Just in the necessary places, amen. I'm serious now. And you would be, I'm telling you, you would be so happy when the water comes back on. You'd be desired for the water. Same thing about the electricity goes off here for 3 days and we're just go crazy. Amen. You'd be desiring. Like sister, she's getting her housework on. She's desiring for her house to get back. Hey, I mean, you get something gone. Till we miss something, we really don't realize, or we know, but we don't know. Right. I know y'all think I'm crazy. I'm trying to get a point over to you. We're unavailable for God. Yeah. We don't act like it. We don't look like it. We don't think like we are, but we are. We're just unavailable. We don't have time for God. And I'm telling you, don't just start out here. It's in the pulpit too. If I don't watch it, I can get unavailable to God. One night I was, Wednesday night I guess it was. I've been sick for the last couple of days. I was sick there. And I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. I could not go back to sleep. I couldn't wear my little thing you're supposed to wear to breathe in. I couldn't breathe. And so I couldn't wear that thing. So I just got up and I was going to sit in a chair. Well, I didn't do that, and I didn't like it, wasn't comfortable. So I went back to bed, and I asked her, it's hard enough if I read. And she said, will it bother you? She said, no, it won't bother me. And she's over there snoring and sleeping and having a good time. And I'm sitting here reading. I'm just kidding with her. And so she just went back to sleep. So I'm sitting here reading. And God got to speaking to me. And hopefully I'll preach this message in time. But I got to reading and thinking and studying about some things there, and God was speaking to me. And it's almost like God said, you got sick here, and while you're sick and you can't sleep, you got time for me now.
That's right.
Isn't that sad?
Amen.
That's just so sad that, you know, preacher, now finally you've got time to just bear down, to look at something, to really sit and meditate on it and think on it. Now, I believe this is just a society that I live in. A lot of times I take a verse, Brother Steve, with me and when I'm driving in the car. I take a verse with me. I've got it with my day, and I think on it. A message. I think on that message. I get a lot of my messages as I'm just going through the day. I think about verses. I think, and I'm building that message as life is just going on around me. I'll tell you why that we have writers from past centuries. They didn't have internet to look at.
Yeah.
They didn't have automobiles to take them somewhere.
Yeah.
Amen. And so they sat in front of a coal lamp and they sat there and they didn't go nowhere. And they studied the Word of God and they wrote about what they studied.
Yeah.
That's why you and I have got a lot of the books that we've got.
That's right.
Amen. And why we don't write today, why we don't have time today for God, is because we got all these other things that robs us of our time. I'm not saying they're sinful. I'm not saying they're wrong. But I'm just saying if we don't watch it, if we're going to have revival, and I do not know the answer to how to change any of that. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Do y'all feel the burden that's on my heart? I don't know how to change it. I'm preaching to me, okay? Y'all just forget about it, okay? If y'all need to leave, that's fine. I'm preaching to me. I don't know how to change it. But I want to be available to God. I'm not asking him to make me sick. I'm not asking him to put me nowhere where there's no power or water. I'm serious about it. But I would like to be available to God. Amen. Thy people. You know what? God does not want our partnership. He wants ownership.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He wants to own us. He wants us to be His. Can you imagine going into work next week? Okay, and you're supposed to work. Let's just say, you know, you got a gravy job, 9 to 5. Nobody has that. 9 to 5. And you're okay. And so, and you go in about 9, 10, 11 o'clock, and you go to your boss, well, you know what? I'm going to leave probably at 11. I'll be back at 2 or 3. You know. No. He wants you to be there on the job the times that he's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Amen. You've partnered with him. I tell you what, God's not even wanting you to be a good employer or employee. God wants you all the time.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, I know you got to work a job. I know you got to do things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying God's ownership of you is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He wants to be owner of your life. We need to be available to God.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever thought about, you know, you're going through your Saturday and you get up, you know, I don't know about y'all, but me and Deborah at night was thinking about what are we going to do tomorrow? Where's that calendar at? We live by things that's on this calendar, okay? You live by schedule. And so what are we going to do tomorrow? What's on the schedule? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to... And we're talking about these things, you know, all that's going to happen and what's going to take place and everything. And what about you get up on Saturday, you know, and you got your plans planned and everything, and God speaks to you and says, you know what you need to do? You need to go visit so-and-so. Or you need to stop. You need to take some time. You need to call. You need to talk to so-and-so. Or you need to go visit somebody. How many times has God... You know God's done that before. And you know what we said? We're unavailable. That's not in my schedule today. I'll do it sometime next week. And probably 90% of the time, Brother Ricky, it never gets done next week. Because God didn't want it next week. He wanted it right now. Unavailability of the people. We must make ourselves available to God in order to experience real heaven sent, God sent, Holy Ghost sent, Christ honoring, Holy Ghost revival. We're going to have to be available to God.
Yeah.
Ephesians said this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We need to make sure that we're available to God. He said that thy people, he said, you're mine. I bought you. I paid for you on Calvary. We just celebrated a minute ago, shout and praise the Lord that we're saved. That means He owns us. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own.
Amen.
And then secondly, verse number 4, he says, turn us. That word turn us is really speaking about to help us to repent. We need to repent. Repentance towards God. I believe if what causes revival to tarry is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Jeremiah said this. He said, your iniquities has turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I don't know about you, but I need all the good things God can give me. I need the goodness of the Lord. I need the grace of the Lord. I need the gladness that God can give. I need those things. And if we don't turn to Him, He said, turn us. Lord, He's praying, turn us. I need you to show me, turn me in the direction I need to see my sin, turn, O God of our salvation, and cause that anger towards us to cease. I need you to turn me. That's what we need. We need to be turned. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had into you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God. Hey, does God need to turn you? Do you need to turn and be headed in the right direction again? We talk about repentance is a 180 thing. So repentance is like this. You're headed in this way and you're doing something that's wrong, and you repent of that sin. Guess what?
Yeah.
That's 180. Some people think repentance is a 360. God forgive me this sin. Oh, okay, right back here doing it again. No, but it's not. That's not true repentance. Repentance will cause you to have a godly sorrow for the sin that you're committing.
Amen.
I've had, and probably still do, I'm being very transparent here, I can't think of any right now, but as time goes on, God does reveal different things to my life. But I've had some things that I knew that was sin in my life. Now, I probably shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that as mature in the Lord. And I'd ask God to forgive me for it. But next week I'd still be doing the same thing. And I knew, and I'd ask Him again. But you know what? That wasn't true repentance. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
But finally when God really started dealing with me and I really wanted to get serious about that, maybe a petty sin, might be a little sin, a small sin. But when I really wanted to get rid of it, and when I really tried to get rid of it, and I confessed it then, and then it was 3 or 4 months or 2 months before I ever done it again. And then finally now it's really not even a part of my life no more.
Yeah.
That's when I started really repenting of my sin.
Yeah.
Turn us. I'll tell you why revival tarries tonight, because you and I have unconfessed sins. I'm talking about unconfessed sins of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
I have no earthly person I'm thinking about. Sometimes it's hard as a pastor to preach some things, but and especially as I've been here more years, I'm learning things. I find that it's still hard to, but I have nobody in mind whatsoever. But there could be people sitting in this building that you have all against your brother. You know what you've done? You're not forgiving them. And you know what God said? I'm not going to hear your prayers. And you say, well, some of you may have strife in your heart. Some of you may have malice. Some of you may have bitterness about something. And you just won't give it to God and forgive the person that's against you, or the person that you thought was against you, or the person that may have hurt you. And you've harbored that in your heart. It could be something as simple as somebody just said something. And even in a word of passing. Do you realize I've had people come and talk to me and say, preacher, I need you to forgive me because I got upset about something you said. And you know what? I said that in just passing. And I never, just stranger, I never even thought a thing about that I had offended anyone. And yet that bothered them and kind of began to put a little, strife there between me and that person. And later on I've realized, well, maybe that's a little bit different. And I may have even went to somebody and said, hey, did I do something? But most of the time I'm so ignorant and very undiscerning sometimes that they come to me and say, preacher, I want you to forgive me. And I said, well, if I did that and you thought it was that way, I want you to ask you to forgive me because that was not the intent of my heart.
Right.
Do you realize how easy that is? Now, I'm going to tell you why that's so easy. Because there's a devil that wants to put strife and contention between his people. And he'll build on anything that he can build upon. Amen. And make it as big as he can make it to be. And you may even be upset at somebody that don't even know that they've upset you.
Right.
And all you'd have to do to go to them, they would be so broken, and they would love to say to you, you're asking me for forgiveness. I want to ask you for forgiveness. I never even dreamed I'd done that. And I'm sorry that you took it that way. And I'm sorry that you have this against me. And I'm so glad that you came, because I felt that maybe there was something different among us. I didn't understand it. Or maybe I didn't feel it. I didn't know it. And I'm glad now that the air is cleared. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right to clear the air.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not preaching to a perfect church. You're not looking at a perfect pastor. I'm talking about unconfessed sins. I'm not talking about being out here being an adulterer. I'm not talking about out here just telling people straight out lie. I'm not talking about being a drunkard. I'm talking about the sins that could hinder and keep revival from tarrying and the Spirit of God moving in our midst could be as simple as hurt feelings. Unforgiveness in our heart to forgive somebody else for doing something that they may not know they've done, or done it unawares, or did it ignorantly. Amen. Tell you what, I'm a pretty good preacher for that. Y'all heard this story before. When me and Deborah got married, birthdays wasn't big to us, but birthdays was big in her family. So her birthday come, man, I got her a punch hole for punch holes. That's what she needed. You know, so that was for Valentine's. That was our first Valentine's. I'm telling y'all, this love thing came really hard to me. First Valentine's, I bought her a punch hole puncher. That's what she needed. That's what she said she needed. Hey, amen. I'm telling you, I have came a long ways. You know why we have marriage seminars? To help me. Amen. That's why we have. I'm telling you, I've came a long ways in this thing. And that's what I bought her for our very first Valentine. I bought her a punch hole. Yeah. You know? And so just 101 Valentine's Day for you that just got married, don't buy a punch hole. A three-rim punch hole. I mean, a nice one, but it don't matter how nice it is when it comes to the first Valentine. Amen. But the birthday wasn't big. I just didn't think. We didn't make birthdays big at our house. But it was. Well, the next birthday, guess what? It was bigger. I may be dumb, but I learned fast. And so I learned fast. But you know why I done that? I was ignorant. To the Valentine's thing, I was just ignorant. Amen. How's this a guy? It's the guy thing. Amen. You said if you need something, you buy it for him.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, if it's close to a holiday, you know, hallelujah. Amen. Plug it right in. It's the guy thing. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Some of y'all men, y'all finally got it right. Y'all know y'all been married 40 years and trying to get it right. But anyway, we all need to improve. You realize that we all, because it was just pure ignorance. You know, we do things out of ignorance. Young Christians can be hurt by older Christians, and it be totally because of the ignorance of the older Christian. Now, come on now, give me some light. They just don't think about that young Christian. They don't think about what that would mean to them. We just don't think. And we harbor these things in our heart. I believe unforgiveness is one of the sins of the church. It hinders the church, hinders the movement of the Spirit of God. It's when we decide, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. She don't deserve my forgiveness.
You're right.
We say that. You say, I don't ever say it like that. No, you don't say it out in public like that, but it's in your heart. If it spoke out, it would speak out like that. I'm not going to forgive them. That was ignorant. That was crazy. And it was. And it could have been. Lastly, I'm not going to go to my text here, but a text we use all the time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, I believe the reason we have that revival tarries is unbended knees. Unbended knees. It's amazing how prayer changes things. I'll never forget the man that came and he preached during a meeting one time during our couple's retreat, and he told the story about how that this couple came in his office and they wanted to be counseled, and they didn't really want counseling, but they came, one forced the other one to come, and so, you know, they're there, and this one begins to talk about how terrible he is, and she began to talk about how terrible he was, and I mean, it's just like, you know, a dog and cat fighting. Amen. Don't nobody testify. It's kind of like, and so he just seen this. He said, there's no hope. And for some reason, he said, sir, won't you just pray for us and dismiss us? I mean, why would you ask the man that been fighting at his wife? I don't know. Anyway. So he said, sir, you just pray and dismiss us. And he got to praying, and he got to praying for his wife.
Yeah.
And when he got to praying for his wife, he got to thanking God for his wife. And before it's all over with, then he got done praying. They got up and they hugged. And they thought, oh, preacher, thank you, preacher, thank you. He didn't do nothing. You know what? It's hard to really think bad about people you pray about.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be hateful and be ugly and be unloving to the people that you carry a burden with.
Yeah.
Bear you one another's burden. No, it really is. Brother Hub, if we had aught together, as far as I know, we don't. I'm sure you have plenty to have but me, but I don't have any. Brother Hub has to put up with me all the time. But I love him. I appreciate him. Brother Hub, I pray for you. And I pray for your family. I pray for Sister Kate. And I pray for your family. I pray God put a guard about you. I pray God give you spiritual discernment. I pray that almost, if not every day, I pray that almost every day of my life. I pray for you. But if something gets between me and Brother Hub, it would make it harder for me to pray that. Lord, you help him. You know how crazy he's been. You know what he's doing wrong. Lord, help him. Lord, give him discernment. God, you know those things he's not discerning about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard to pray for somebody and be at odds with them. I believe we'd pray one for another. I wonder, you know some that I don't know, and I know some maybe you don't know, but you know somebody in this church is carrying a burden. You do. You know somebody in this church is carrying a burden. Now, we ain't just talking about one. There's a multitude. You just pick one out. Maybe it's a burden they're caring about their children. Maybe it's a burden. I hope Brother David don't mind me, but Brother David's burden for his dad. I pray for his dad. He's in Mormonism. Of course, now he's in the rest home. All kinds of burdens.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it'd be good for you just to find somebody and say, I want to pray for you and the burden you're in. I want to couple and pray with you about this burden. Amen.
Yeah.
But if we pray one for another, I believe that would start the sparks of fire, of revival at Philadelphia Baptist Church. But unbended knees, I think, hinders us from revival. That's why revival tarries. And it goes back to the first thing, too. We just don't have time to pray.
Right.
We don't make time to pray. God robs us from prayer. Brother Jeff, if we was praying for somebody carrying a burden, you know what? We'd be sensitive about that burden.
Yeah.
We'd be sensitive to that person. And so then while we're sensitive, let's just say, I was praying for Brother Kevin. He's carrying a burden. And I'm praying about that burden for Brother Kevin. And as I'm praying about that burden for Brother Kevin, let's just say Brother Kevin says something that's off the wall to me. Acts a little different to me or something. You know what I'm going to think? What burden's really changed? That burden hindering Brother Kevin. It's bothering him. He's even starting to act different. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray more. If I hadn't been praying about that, and I hadn't been praying about that burden, he says something off the wall or says something to me, or he's short or something, and he ain't been that way. But I'm saying, you know what I'm going to think? What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Who does he think he is? Why is he acting that way to me? You see the difference? Do you see the difference? Do you understand the difference when you're bearing the load with somebody? Jordan, can I use you for a second, man? Come on up here. Okay. Let me try to drag you just a little bit, okay? You just kind of put something in your weight down. Don't fall on the floor and hurt yourself and I get sued or something, okay? All right, but make it hard for me to pull you. Brother Jeff, come on up here. This time, put your arm around there, Brother Jeff. This time I want you to just totally give all your weight off everything. We won't come on with you. Just completely give you weight. Just let us drag you, okay? So I couldn't do it by myself, but I can do it when we're bearing his burden.
Right.
Yeah. If I'd be bearing his burden, somebody else be bearing his burden, you know what the burden would be to him? A whole lot lighter.
Yeah.
A whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Bear ye one another burden. Pray one for another. Thank you, buddy. I believe that's one reason revival tarries.
Because
we don't watch it, the church has a theme, loving people alive. Has a problem loving their own brother and their own sister in the Lord. Love, be you tenderhearted, love one another, forgiving one another for Christ's sake. I wonder tonight, maybe God's pricked our hearts about something. This thing about unbended knees, Ravenhill said this. He said, we may preach and perish, but we can never pray and perish.
Yeah.
We have organizers, but few agonizers. Many players, but few payers. We have few prayers and many singers. Few clingers, but lots of pastors. Few that are wrestle, but many that fears. Few tears, but much fashion. Little passion, but many interferences. Few intercessors, but many riders, but few fighters. How true that is. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray, Lord. I thank David and bless you. Bless us with authority. Thank you done for us and everything you do for us, Lord. People just touch us. Help us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the services, Lord, today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the messages, Lord, we heard today. Lord, people just help us, Lord, have more of a burden, Lord, for the people here in the church and to help, Lord. Some's carrying great needs, Lord. People just touch and help. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. Give us all a good week this week. Help us bring us back on Wednesday night, Lord, and help us, Lord, next Sunday, Lord, and everything be going on. Just touch us. And help us and use us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.